तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् ओम् ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शंभवे ह्रीं ओम ओम ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूल निवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शंभवे ह्रीं ओम ओम ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूल निवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शंभवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्करमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रणुयात्मदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वी गोइंग टू कंटिन्यू विद द टेक्स्ट लेट अस रीड फ्रॉम द वर्स नंबर वन वंस ॐ ॐ अथाश्वलायनो भगवन्तं परमेष्ठिनम् उपसमेत्योवाच अधीहि भगवन् ब्रह्मविद्यां परिष्ठां सदा सद्भिः सेव्यमानाम् निगूढाम् यथाचिरात् सर्वपापं व्यपोह्य परात्परम् पुरुषम् याति विद्वान् तस्मै सहोवाच पितामहश्च श्रद्धा भक्ति bhakti,
shraddha bhakti,
dhyana yoga davaihi,
dhyana yoga davaihi.
Okay. So we saw the meaning of the first verse in Sudha's house in first two classes, and we have entered into the second verse, second mantra. Any verse when we read from Upanishad, it's a mantra. So the great Rishihi, Rigveda Acharya, Ashvalayanaha, approached this great teacher, Lord Brahma himself, and asked for the knowledge of the absolute reality. As I explained to you in my previous class, when a student approaches the teacher himself, he knows that he has to gain this knowledge with the help of the teacher, which implies that he is knowing the importance of studying the scripture with the help of the sampradaya with the teacher. And he has approached the teacher also none other than Brahmaji himself. And he straightway did not ask for anything else. He straightway asked for Brahma Vidya. When he asked for Brahma Vidya, and he himself used the words, adjectives, and then which show the greatness of Brahma Vidya. Varishtha Nigudha Sadbihi Sevyamana Brahma Vidya. Hey Bhagavan, please bless me with this knowledge of Brahman. And which is the Nigudha, which is hidden knowledge. Why hidden knowledge? This Brahman is Brahman, the reality happens to be the Brahman, absolute reality implied by the term Brahman happens to be the very sarupam of the one who searches for this knowledge. It is said to be the Nigudha Vidya. Nigudha. And then this happens to be the most, this only knowledge which gives you the complete knowledge. It is Brahma Vidya which alone will bless one with the complete knowledge. And also this is the only knowledge which liberates, frees one from bondage of samsara. Therefore it is the Varishta, most exalted, the knowledge. And not only that, and this is the knowledge which is been always being pursued by all the people of Purusharth Nischeha, people who are very clear. Clear about people, the confused people, people who are not given to who are not committed to the pursuit of moksha, who are not committed to the pursuit of knowledge, are not very clear about their end. Therefore, they are confused people, their ends are many. The end is one, then they are clear-headed people. The ends are many, they are confused. And that only end also must be moksha in the form of jnanam. For sadbihi, sada sevya, always which has been pursued by, these people of discrimination, who are purushartha nischaya. And then he himself explained in that first verse. We start seeing the second verse. And then Rishi Ashvalayana's the request, no, his conversation continues in the dialogue, continues in the next verse also. And what's that Brahma Vidya, the most exalted knowledge, this Brahma Vidya, you know, once gained, it is this knowledge alone will free one from all forms of punya papams. Sarva, this is where we stopped last class. I'm coming back to the class, okay? All it takes time to come to the class. Sarva papam vyapohya. Vyapohati. No, sarva papam vyapohya, freeing oneself from all forms of punya papams. How long does it take after gaining jnanam? How long does it take for one to become free from all forms of punya papams? Become all forms of samsara, how long does it take? No, within no time. Achirat means the minute you know, you are free. As long as you are ignorant, you are bound. And I explained to you in Sudha's house, because the bondage is not caused by real, there is no real bondage. The bondage is only notional. And the notion that I am insignificant, I am inadequacy, I am inadequate, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, all the wrong notions one entertain about oneself, the sense of limitation, sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, being centered on I is the common human fundamental problem. And this happens to be, it's because of the self-ignorance, which happens to be the ignorance of the reality also. Therefore, it is this ignorance which results in erroneous self-perception, and this erroneous self-perception results in erroneous self-image, and which is the bondage, erroneous notion about oneself, and which is the bondage, which itself is the bondage. Therefore, it in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self being identical with Paramatma, the truth of the Jagat, entire cosmos, what happens? Achirathu, once gained, Achirathu sarva papam vyapohya. This person who gains this wisdom, gains this knowledge of the self, becoming free from all forms of punya papams, what happens? Paratparam purusham yati. And this person is vidwan. Whoever gains any knowledge is said to be vidwan. Sangeeta vidwan, Hindi language vidwan, or you know, any language, Sanskrita vidwan. Vidwan means any scholar is called also known by the term vidwan. But any scholar, scholar means anybody who has profound knowledge in any given discipline is said to be vidwan. Botany vidwan, physics vidwan, one can be vidwan, knowledgeable in anything. But here vidwan means with the jnanavan, only the one who knows Atma Jnanavan or Brahma Jnanavan, one who is blessed with, one who is endowed with this clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one's own Swarupam, the content of I, the Swarupam of I being identical with Paramatma, the Chaitanyam, the consciousness. One who does not see a second reality, second thing other than the Chaitanyam Brahma, the consciousness, which is the truth of everything and which is the truth of one's own self. For him, this only reality, the only reality is what? Therefore, second thing is not there. One sees one's own Swarupam being the Paramatma. Such a person is Vidwan here. Such a person alone is what now? Parat Param Purusham Yati. Parat Paraha Purushaha. Yati means this wise person, Vidwan wise person, one who knows the self, one who has the knowledge of the self is wise person, and he Yati. Yati means attains, goes. Yati literally means goes. It also means attains and reaches. He reaches what, he attains what here? Parat Param Purusham. So Parat Param Purush, Parat Paraha Purushaha is Ishwaraha, Bhagavan. Ishwara, who is Ishwara? Why Ishwara is called here Paratparaha Purushaha? In here, Purushaha, the absolute self. Every time I come here, I think 3-4 times I already explained the meaning of the word Purushaha. I don't mind repeating it. And then I should not feel tired or bored with that also, because I must ask how many, what else can I say? I had to repeat it. Even if you know it already, that's fine. If you already don't know it also, you're learning it newly. Purushaha, we have. Now, Purushaha means the Pure Ushati Iti Purushaha, the one who indwells in every being, in everything, is Purushaha. Then, Sarvam Purayati Iti Purushaha, that which fills everything, is also Purushaha. So, we had to give, no? Which means, Sarvam Purayati Pure Ushati Cha, which means that which alone is. Understand? There's no second thing. If I say, Jalam is the Purushaha, water is Purushaha with reference to ocean and wave, what else is there? Water is that which fills the entire ocean and every wave. That which indwells every wave is water, means there is no ocean, there is no wave. Water alone is. There is no wave, there is no ocean, means what? There is no such a thing called wave and ocean without the water. If at all there is ocean and wave, It is the water which alone appears in the form of wave and ocean. What is actually there is only water, and which is one and the same, secondless. One and the same truth of the entire every wave, the entire ocean. Therefore, there is a second thing. From the standpoint of that water, there is no such thing called difference as wave and the water. The difference is only from the standpoint of nama rupa, wave and ocean, name and form. And that is only empirically the seeming difference. Absolutely, there is no difference at all. What difference is there? From the standpoint of water, the H2O, what is the difference? There is no difference. Similarly, here also, when you say this Purushaha, when it's Paratparaha Purushaha, Brahma. Brahma means, I'm going to see the meaning of it later on, because I had so many verses to explain. So we'll see the meaning of the word Brahma later on. Anyway, so this Parapara Purushaha Brahma, the absolute limitless reality, the consciousness. I'm using the word consciousness because already you're not new here. Kaivalyam is something which expects you to be of some standard already. Therefore, Paratparaha, this absolute reality, this consciousness is what? Paratparaha. So, for Purusha, Paratparaha is an adjective here. Paratparaha. What is Param and what is more exalted than the exalted? What is already exalted? We say Param, always we say Maya. Maya means the power. What is that power? The power which has no independent existence. Is there a power? Of course there is a power. The absolute power. And that absolute power, does it have independent existence? No. That means what? The power without which the power cannot exist at all is Paratpara. So the power of consciousness is Maya. And consciousness by itself is what? Paratparaha. Understand now? Therefore, the power, you cannot separate consciousness and its power. Maya and consciousness. The Chaitanyam and Chaitanya Shaktihi. Chit and Chit Shaktihi. You cannot separate. They are inseparable. Chit Shaktihi means what? Chit Shaktihi means Chit Shaktihi. Chit Shaktihi. Or Chaitanya Shaktihi. The power and the consciousness are inseparable. Like what? Like heat and its fire. Like light and sun. Or heat and sun. You cannot separate brilliance and the sun. You can say light, sunlight you can say. Or light of the sun you say. Even the light of the sun means light and sun are not separable. There is no possessor-possessed connection. Understand? The adhara-adheya sambandha, it means possessor-possessed connection means, this book is mine, if I say, this is my book, means this book is separable from me. Isn't my book? Tara Vasanti's book means there's a possessor-possessed connection. I am the possessor, book is possessed by me, which means the book is separable from me. But when I say sun's light, Vasanti's book means there is a possessor-possessed connection, the separability is there. Whereas Suryasya Prakashaha, when I say Suryasya Prakashaha, is it separable? The light of the sun or sun's light or Agnehe Aushnyam. Agnehe Aushnyam, the heat of the fire. Fire's heat. Is it separable? No. But still we use the term. What do we say? Fire is endowed with the heat. Sun is endowed with the brilliance, light, effulgence. Even there's no possessor-possessed connection, there's non-separate. There is no such a thing called brilliance independently without the sun. There is no such a thing called heat without the fire. But fire is not the heat. But the heat is nothing but fire. Is it clear? Fire is not the heat, but the heat is nothing but fire. Sun is not the brilliance, but the brilliance is nothing but sun. Similarly, consciousness is not the power, but the power is consciousness. So we say they are not separable. There's no independent existence. That is why it is the power of consciousness is separately implied by the term Maya. That which does not have independent existence of its own is called Maya. Therefore, Maya is Mithya. Mithya means what? That which has dependent existence is Mithya. Is it clear now? Now you have to understand the order. The power of consciousness is definitely there, but it does not have independent existence outside of or from consciousness. Therefore, it is known by the term Maya. And because it has independent existence, it is also Mithya. Mithya means an empirical reality. It enjoys only it's empirically real. Understand? But what is actually there? They say the param. That power is superior, we say. But what is superior, more superior, what is more exalted than that exalted power is consciousness. The Shaktiman, the one who is endowed with that Shakti, the Shaktiman, Shakti is exalted. Shaktiman is more exalted, isn't it? One who is endowed with the, see, sun, the brilliance is exalted, but the sun who is endowed with this power of the brilliance is more exalted. Similarly here, so Paratparaha means Ishwaraha, we say. When you see the consciousness, appreciate consciousness as the one who is endowed with this power of knowing. What is that power? The power of knowing. Knowledge is power. There is no other power. Okay? The power of knowing. Like sun is endowed with the power of illumination. Isn't it? I say the sun is endowed with the power of sun is endowed with the brilliance. What is brilliance? The power of illumining. Illumining is the power, isn't it? Illumination. Illumining itself is the power. There is no other power. Is there a power of illumination, the illumining or not? Tell, say. There is power of illumination. But is there power of illumination outside of other than the sun? No. Which means that illumining itself is the power of the sun. Non-separate, inseparable power. So burning is the power of the fire. Is separable? No. Burning power. Similarly, knowing is the jnanameva shakti. Knowing is the power. Jnana shakti. Understand now? The knowing is the power, absolute power. The power of knowing, where does it exist? Where is it located? The power of burning, where is it located? Not outside of fire. The power of illumining, where is it located? Not outside of sun. Is something not, you understand, isn't it? Similarly, the power of knowing is consciousness. Therefore, the power of knowing is exalted power. There was para, we say, parashaktihi. And parat paraha. Understand? Parayaha paraha. Therefore, that more exalted than the exalted is parat paraha. When you see this consciousness as the one which is endowed with the power of knowing, you give the name Ishvara. Understand? That's when you give the name Ishvara. When you talk about pure consciousness, when you say consciousness, Brahma. When you say the consciousness is the one which is endowed with the power of knowing, you say Ishvara. Therefore, Paratparaha Purushaha is nothing but here, Ishvara, the one who is endowed with the power of knowing. And one who is the absolute reality, other than Brahman, reality itself, which is the only secondless reality, because that which fills everything, which indwells everything. Paratparaha Purushaha, and that Ishvara here, which means a secondless reality, which is the only Ishvara, which alone is here. Here, that Ishvara, this Vidwan Yati. Vidwan attains or reaches that Lord, more exalted Ishvara, the Lord, the most exalted, endowed with the exalted power. So again here, Ishvara Yati means there's no reaching, there's no going, there's no attaining. Attainment of Ishvara is only cognitive. It is not physical, isn't it? Which means he becomes one with Ishvara. This wise person becomes one with Ishvara means, again, becoming one also means not like really going and mixing or joining or becoming one here, cognitively resolving one's identity with Bhagavan, the whole, the totality. Resolving one's identity with Paramatma, the whole. Not physical, purely it is cognitive. You don't need to push the wave into the ocean to say wave is ocean. You just understand the truth of the wave happens to be the H2O. The truth of the ocean happens to be the H2O. The wave is ocean. This understanding itself is what? The wave being resolved in ocean. Cognitive resolution. Similarly here also, here when you understand there is no truth other than consciousness, the truth of I happens to be the truth of the whole Jagat, which is the consciousness. And this understanding itself is what? Aham Brahma Asmi. This knowledge is Aham Ishwaraha, Aham Brahma Asmi. This knowledge itself is resolving one's identity with Paramatma Ishwaraha. This is what? Offering yourself to Bhagavan. Understand? People say, I want to offer myself to Bhagavan. And as if Bhagavan doesn't want you. And as if you can go and give yourself to Bhagavan. I want to really offer myself to Bhagavan. I want to offer myself to Bhagavan. People, I don't know whether they really mean it. They don't understand it or not. If Bhagavan really come on, sit in my temple all the time. Don't get up and go anywhere. They can't sit. Imagine if you really go, this is what is offering. I had to go to the temple or somewhere and sit in front of Bhagavan's murti. I offered myself to Bhagavan like a coconut. You know? So now, given that I should go, once given means you can't get up and go out. You have to be sitting all the time. And people will come and offer prasadam to Naivedyam to Bhagavan, not to you. And you have to be watching. The priest will come and offer to Bhagavan, take it back. And you have to be sitting there, hungry. Okay? Really here, offering is what here? I want to offer myself to Bhagavan means, in fact, this purely understand, is there I? Am I here at all? Where am I? I am not at all here. There is only Paramatma, only Bhagavan. This is a fact to be understood, dwelt upon and ascertained. If this fact is ascertained, you have offered yourself to Bhagavan. This is the final offering, after which you cannot offer anything anymore. I told you last time also this one. This is the significance of Purnahuti. When you perform a fire ritual, the Purnahuti means what? What is Purnahuti? When you perform a fire ritual and you offer oblations, you offer so many things, you know, there are so many things Indians have to offer. and then chanting many avrittis, 108 times, 1008 times, they will be offering these something, lots of things they'll be offering. And then last, they'll keep one big bundle. One big bundle they'll keep, lots of that fragrant things, and then everything they would have put here. Nice silk saree, they'd have tied, actually they'd kept separate, they would have kept it separately, the last bit. When they finish chanting so many number of 1008 times, the mantras, avrittis are over, the last they'll bring and they offer it into that. It's called Purnahuti. And the poor, whether people watch Purnahuti, everybody will go and sit. No, why? We have to watch. That is, that only, the ahuti, he means the offering. The poor, see, the ahutihi, offering which, the offering comes to an end. Yaya ahutya no purnaha, no purnaha bhavati, yajnaha purnaha bhavati, it becomes complete, that is called purnahuti. And for which people all will come and wait to see that. And then that big bundle is now big, and with a big noise, the vadya noise, all instruments, and they will offer the oblations, and yajna is over. And afterward, nothing is there. Again, you can't, I want a little more, get more ghee. No. That given means finished. That's the Purnahuti. Similarly here also, that is actually what it signifies is, you offer so many things to Bhagavan, you know, when you offer yourself to Bhagavan, and the offerer himself is offered to Bhagavan, the offering comes to an end. That is the culmination of even the act of worship. Know that. The offerer himself should be offered to Bhagavan. That is the culmination. Why? Then there cannot be any more offering. The yajna comes to an end. Therefore, what is real offering? Now, what is the absolute offering? The offerer himself being offered to Bhagavan is the absolute offering. After offering which, there cannot be any more offering. The act of offering comes to an end. That is the culmination of the act of worship. That is the symbolic act of offering. Not real offering. That is why here also you don't really offer yourself to Bhagavan. It is symbolic. But what means what? There is a cognitive resolution of ahankara. So paratparam purusham yati means what? Paratpara purushayanam. Going towards Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, or attaining Bhagavan, reaching Bhagavan means what here? Resolving one's ahankara. Where do you resolve your ahankara? In Paramatma. Resolving one's ahankara in Paramatma is in fact the offering oneself to Bhagavan. So how can you resolve your ahankara to resolve ahankara in Paramatma? Ahankara here is I-sense. I don't want to use the word ego also. Ego is a word. Ahankara, you can use the word ego. But I-sense. I-sense is ahankara. Ego. The knowledge I am is I-sense. The knowledge I-sense is ego. The knowledge I am is ahankara. See, be very careful, very clear it is. The knowledge I am, the I sense, this is ahankara. You resolve your ahankara in Ishvara, Paramatma, Chaitanyam Brahma. How do you resolve? When you say wave is ocean, you have resolved the individuality of the wave, resolved in ocean, the totality. When you say wave is ocean, the individuality is resolved in totality, the ocean, which means the wave is water, which means the wave is resolved in the truth, the water, which means there is no such a thing called wave outside of, other than, independently, independent of water. Wave is nothing but water. The truth of the wave being, knowing the truth of the wave being water, is resolving the wave in water. Resolving the wave in its truth is what? Resolving the wave in, you know, in the ocean. Similarly, here also when you say, I am, what is I am? Knowledge, manifest knowledge, I am, is manifest knowledge. The world is manifest knowledge. When you say, I am, what is this manifest knowledge? Manifest knowledge is pure knowledge. Any knowledge manifest is nothing but consciousness. See, there is light. Listen to me carefully. There is light. Before we all came into this room, before this mic was brought here, was there light or not? Was there light? Is there pure light? Now, same light was there before. The same light continues to be here now also. Now this mic has come. Now I call that light reflected light. Is there something called reflected light? What was there was before pure light. Even now same pure light continues to exist. But I call this light reflected light. Why? Because the presence of this mic is known because of the light. And in the presence of the mic, the light gets the name reflected light. The mic shines, the opaque thing shines, reflecting the light. So light is always there. There is no such a thing called a pure light. There is no such a thing called a reflected light. There is just the light. In the absence of mic, light, we add the adjective to the light, saying pure light. The presence of light, we add the adjective to the light, reflected light. And the presence or absence of mic does not afflict or affect, taint or touch, pollute the light. Similarly, consciousness is always there. Consciousness, which is implied by the term Brahma. Why is it implied by the term Brahma? We are going to see later on. Consciousness, in English language, what we, you know, say, the word consciousness, in Sanskrit is implied by the term Brahma. So the Brahman, the consciousness, is always there. It is always consciousness. The ever pure consciousness, it doesn't become an impure consciousness or anything. So consciousness is another word also. Knowledge. So in the presence of vritti, thought, it's called manifest consciousness. In the absence of thought, it is pure consciousness. Is it clear? Vrittihi. Antahkarana vrittihi means a thought. In the presence of thought, consciousness is said to be manifest consciousness. And the thoughts are absent. Absent means thoughts are resolved. And the thoughts come into existence, consciousness is said to be manifest consciousness. The thoughts are resolved, then we are called pure consciousness. If there is no such thing called manifest consciousness and pure consciousness, in keeping with the presence of thoughts, presence and absence of thoughts, we add these adjectives to consciousness as pure consciousness and a manifest consciousness. Avyakta chaitanyam, vyakta chaitanyam. Shuddha chaitanyam, vyakta chaitanyam. Is it clear? In keeping with the presence of thoughts. But the pure consciousness, where the thoughts are not there, the pure, we don't say unmanifest, okay? We say pure consciousness is non-accessible. Non-accessible. Pure consciousness is non-accessible. Which means when the thoughts are not there, thoughts are resolved, consciousness is there or not? Very much there, but non-accessible. When the thoughts are there, consciousness is manifest. The manifest consciousness is accessible. For example, in deep sleep state, you are very much there. Consciousness is very much there. But you are not transactable. You are not available for interaction in deep sleep state. Somebody cannot come and talk to you like how I'm talking to you now. Suppose somebody is fast asleep here. I can't talk to that person. In my thinking, I can think the person is listening to me, closing the eyes very deeply. No. Which means I can't interact with the person who is fast asleep. I can't talk to the person, address the person. Why? The person is not accessible. Why? Consciousness is there or not? Very much there. Why it is not transactable? Because it is not a manifest. Why is it not manifest? Because manifesting medium, the thought media, the thoughts are not available. Where are the thoughts? They are resolved. Why are they resolved? That's a different thing. That's not our thing now. Okay, that's a different teaching, different lesson. When the thoughts are resolved, then consciousness is not manifest. When it is not manifest, we call it pure consciousness, because it is non-accessible, it is non-interactable. Understand? Therefore, the consciousness is the truth. So what is this I am? Now let me tell you. I am. The presence of vritti thought modification, there is manifest knowledge or manifest consciousness. The thought, I thought, is not there. The thought is not there. Consciousness still is. Understand? Therefore, we say, I am, I sense. Therefore, the truth of the I. So when the thought is resolved also, where does the thought resolve? It does not resolve outside of consciousness. The manifest thought also does not exist outside of consciousness. The unmanifest thought also does not exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, the truth of, the truth is the consciousness. Because thought is dependent on consciousness to come to light, to shine. Whereas consciousness is not dependent on the thought. Very subtle. Thought itself is very, very subtle. Thought is very subtle. don't think like making light example is very easy. Therefore, we say, I am is what? Consciousness manifest. The knowledge manifest is I am. Thought results, still consciousness is. Therefore, the truth of I is nothing but consciousness. Understand? Truth of I is consciousness. Because just as the wave, the name and the form wave, has no existence independently, independent of water. It is the water, the H2O, which lends existence to the name and the form wave, isn't it? Therefore, truth of the name and the form wave is water. Similarly, it is the consciousness. It is the light which lends existence to the name and the form, Mike, any opaque thing for that matter. It is the consciousness which lends existence to the thought. Therefore, the truth of the thought is what? Consciousness. Is it clear? If there's... I itself is a thought only, I'm saying. I thought. So, I is a thought. We may be very clear. So, the truth of this I is what? Consciousness only. Because it is the consciousness which lends existence to I. There's no... Otherwise, without consciousness, I cannot exist by itself. The I sense, the knowledge I am, cannot exist independently by itself. Therefore, I am consciousness. Like wave is water, so I am consciousness. Leave everything else. First, just take only I. Aham vritti. This understanding, once you resolve it, when you say wave is water, wave has been resolved in water. There is no such a thing called wave. Understand? You have, which means you are not empirically there is a wave, relatively there is a wave, but absolutely there is no wave. There is only water. There is only ocean. Ocean, the whole, which is water. Understand? In fact, absolutely you can say there's no ocean also. There's just the water. Is it clear? Similarly, cognitively, you are not doing anything physically here. You need not push the wave into the ocean. Just understand the truth of the wave, without which the wave cannot exist at all. And without which the ocean cannot exist at all. The truth of the wave and the ocean being one and the same H2O. When you understand, you have resolved the wave in the ocean. Similarly here also, there is the truth of the I. Just only I. We are not talking about anything else in the world. Okay? The truth of the I. I sense. There cannot be the knowledge I am without consciousness. There cannot be very I without consciousness. Understand? Without light, this mic will be as good as non-existent. Without light, mic may be, even if the mic is, it will be as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Because the mic is very much dependent on the light, to come to light, thereby to be known, thereby to have the status of being existent. Hope you're all following. Is it clear? Therefore, we say the truth of every opaque thing is light. Wherever it shines, it must shine only in light. So the truth of I is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, what is this? When you say Mike is, means Mike plus light is. Mike is means what? Mike plus light is. Is it clear or not? You can't say Mike is means only Mike is. No, Mike is means Mike plus light is. So I am means I plus consciousness am. Is it clear? What plus? There's no plus. I am consciousness. Understand now? I am, again the plus means again and. Two. I and consciousness. No. Mike and light you don't need to say. Mike is means light is, therefore the Mike is. I am means consciousness is, therefore I am. Don't say I am, therefore consciousness is. It's like saying light is there because, you know, Mike is, therefore light is. No. Light is, therefore Mike is. So consciousness is, therefore I am. Which means the truth of, this way, I am consciousness. Consciousness is not I. Understand? Water is not the wave. So consciousness is not I, but I am consciousness. That is why we have the relative differences. This understanding and this consciousness is Brahma. This consciousness is the absolute, ultimate reality, truth, absolute reality, the truth of every being here, truth of everything here. Which means the existence of consciousness is the existence of everything in this universe. The existence of light is the existence of the mic, any opaque. So existence of consciousness is existence of the universe, everything in the universe, subtle or gross or big or small. Therefore, we say the truth of everything is consciousness and the truth of I am, is consciousness. Therefore, I am consciousness. The truth of wave is water, therefore wave is water. The truth of I is consciousness, therefore I am consciousness. If you squeeze the I, what is the truth of it? What is the truth of it? It you cannot go beyond consciousness. Okay? You will end up where? If you squeeze the wave, it's only H2O. You can't squeeze, I'm saying. Okay? So if you squeeze I, what will come out is only consciousness. Therefore, we say, this is the truth. When you understand this truth of I being consciousness, which is the truth of the whole, which is the Brahma Jnanam, there's no way of knowing the truth of the universe other than knowing the truth of the I. If you want to know the truth, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entire cosmos or everything in this universe, know just the truth of the I. That is the only way you can arrive at consciousness. There's no way you can arrive at consciousness. Understand consciousness. That is why it is never available. It is said apramayaha, never available for objectification. It is always available for recognition only as the truth of the very subject, very knower, very I. The truth of the I, the subject. Therefore, we say once you understand, and this understanding is what, once you say, I am consciousness, means you have resolved, like wave is water, means wave is resolved in the truth, the water, the truth of the entire ocean, wherein wave's individuality is resolved in the ocean, the totality. Similarly, here also, when you say, I am consciousness, you don't mechanically say, it is not Upanishadic view or opinion or some Acharya's view or somebody's view. It is the vision. It is not a view. It is not contention. It is the vision of the Upanishad, which you repeatedly listen and listen and listen systematically when it clicks. You understand, I am consciousness. No? This understanding what means, you have resolved your individuality in totality. You have resolved your identity with Bhagavan, Paramatma, the whole. Resolved identity within Brahma. You resolved your ahankara, now I say ahankara. Resolved I sense in consciousness, Brahma, ahankara. This is called ahankara tyaga. Okay, this is the absolute renunciation. Okay, this way the cognitively resolving I sense, ahankara, the ego, in consciousness, the truth of the whole is what? Ahankara tyaga, which is absolute surrender, which is the purnahuti, which is offering oneself to Bhagavan, which is wherein you do not see anything other than Bhagavan, Paramatma. Only Bhagavan is there. There is no I. This is called giving up. Okay? People say give up ahankara means that's you are not giving it up. But in understanding it resolves. In understanding, it resolves. When you use the term give up ahankara, you have to make effort. Somehow, I had a lot of pressure, you know, builds up. Somehow, I had to give up ahankara. My God, I won't really give up ahankara. I'm not able to give up ahankara. Who is going to give up ahankara? You. When you want to give up ahankara, that itself is ahankara. Isn't it? Is it true or not? Therefore, in understanding, I resolves. Okay? This is called Paratparam Purusham Yati. Let me finish it. I'll give it some time. So, Paratparam Purusham Yati. Is it clear? Is there anyone who has doubt in this, what I said? I'll let you know, I'll give you time to ask questions because you come with your own doubts, you come from other places. I'll give you some time. So, Paratparam Purusham Yati. Who? Vidwan. This is the only way you can attain Bhagavan. In Tamil films and all, I don't know whether Petrosnal has seen Tamil movies. One light will come from there. One devotee will be singing in front of the temple in Bhagavan, in front of Bhagavan. And then suddenly he will be singing in praise of Bhagavan and Bhagavan takes him. One light will come out and it will walk towards the murti. And then it will go into sanctum will disappear. They'll show like this. Okay? It's called personification of Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Understand? So here, that also don't have such... that's not nice. And as a child, I used to enjoy all those things. I really... I really had that... No, I was thinking, oh my God, when I saw Andal and all, I used to... All the same stories, no? I really want to go one day to Srirangam and really wonder why, how Andal alone could enter into Srirangam temple. I wasn't allowed to go inside. I used to think that way as a child. Now I can understand all these things. Swamiji helped me, saved me, I have gone mad. Really, you know, as a children, what do you understand? Huh? A lot of devotion, stories you listen, and then really funny, you know, buddhi has to be really channelized correctly, otherwise we'll all go mad. We're all ready to go mad. That's okay? Shastram protects. from becoming mad. Really. Otherwise also we are mad. Now from becoming abnormal, and abnormally abnormal, at least we are protected, saved by Shastram, so we become normal. Normally normal. Now we are abnormally normal, okay? Normally abnormal, but we have become abnormally abnormal, thank God. We are saved. Is it clear? Therefore, Paratparam Purusham Yati Vidwan. How? Paratparam Purusham Yati Vidwan? Is what? Then, Sarva Papam Vyapohya. When you say Aham Brahmasmi, where is the punyam, where is the papam? Then you can say, punyam api me, I am myself. Papam is also myself. Sukham is myself. Dukkham is myself. No, anger is myself. Desire is myself. All that is here is myself. All the anger is myself. Jealousy is myself. Hatred is myself. Anger is myself. Everything is myself. Pain, pleasure, everything is myself. Nothing is outside of me. But I am not anything. Everything is myself. I am not anything. Which means I am free from everything. When you say I am everything is myself means what? I am free from everything. Anger is me means what? I am free from anger. Jealousy is me, I am free from jealousy. Hatred is me, I am free from hatred. Pain is me, I am free from pain. Pleasure is me, I am free from pleasure. I am the truth of everything. Truth of pain, truth of pleasure, truth of anger, truth of desire, truth of everything. I am free from everything. I am not anything, they are all me. Okay? Which means... me means what? You can say that everything is Ishvara. When you resolve your identity with Paramatma Bhagavan, then you can say you are everything. Or you can say everything is Paramatma. Is it clear? This is what absolute Sharanagati. This is what is absolute renunciation. Sannyasa also. We are going to see later on. Understand the Sannyasaha. Surrender, absolute sense, mean the same. Offering, all jnanam, clean understanding. Therefore, if we have this jnanam, one who has this jnanam is a wise person. It is atma jnanam, which is wisdom. And the one who ended with this wisdom is the wise. And this vidwan, being free from all punya papams, being free from all karmas, he, having resolved his I-sense in consciousness, resolved his ego, ahankara in Paramatma, the whole, he becomes one with Ishvara. Means he becomes one with Ishvara, means he is Ishvara. Like wave is ocean, you have no hesitation saying, you can, if you understand that, you can say, I am Ishvara. When you say, I am Ishvara, you can say, there's nothing other than Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. One wave is what ocean means. Every wave is ocean only. Therefore, everything is Ishvara. I am Ishvara, you are not, we can't say. Isn't it? Therefore, is what is Ishvara Drishtihi. This is called Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha. This is Bhagavad Sakshatkara. This is the vision of Ishvara. Is it clear? Okay. Amma, you wanted something?
Just about compassion. When this all the beginning, we are talking about the examples of positive and pleasure, negative and pleasure.
Everything, yeah.
Compassion, all the same.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, compassion is emotion, that's all. Ishvara, everything is Bhagavan only. All the emotions, we are going to see, I didn't mention particularly. Yeah. Everything is Isha means compassion doesn't stay. In fact, compassion, we always say all good things we say is Bhagavatsu, Kalyana Gunan, Gunaha we say. You know, Bhagavan is Dayavan. Daya Sindhu. We say ocean of mercy and all that we say. So compassion is of course. Compassion is just an emotion which is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Not only what we see externally outside is Ishvara. Every emotion is Ishvara. Every thought is Ishvara. See, this understanding comes, you will become free from the hold of these things, emotions. At the same time, you can accommodate other person's anger also. Anger or hatred, or how to handle other people also you know. You can accommodate and you can handle. You know how to deal with it. Because you can't undo the other person's anger. Because you don't know how to undo your own anger. You can't undo anything. At least you can manage. So you can protect yourself from becoming a victim also. Even if you're a victim, which you can manage. Anyway. Okay, with this, the Ashwalayana's request with this is over. Okay, now let us see what Brahmaji is going to say. Tasmai saho vacha.
Tasmai saho vacha.
Pita mahascha.
Pita mahascha.
Saha pitamaha. Saha pitamaha. That Brahmaji. He said, Pitamaha literally means grandfather. And then great, 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 greatest grandfather of grandfathers, isn't it? Pitamaha Brahmaji. Never taha Pitamaha. Ha, indeed, Uvacha said this. To whom? Tasmai. To that Sishya, the Ashwalayanaha, the Rishi Ashwalayana, who had approached this teacher. To that Ashwalayana, Brahmaji said, what did he say? Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogat Avaihi. It's a teaching, one line teaching. Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogat Avaihi. Avaihi means may you understand. Avagacha. Avaihi means avagacha. Avaihi means may you understand. May you understand. So what should you understand? The truth. Because he asked for Brahma Vidya. Ashwalayana asked for Brahma Vidya. Therefore the teacher now tells, may you understand that Brahman. It's implied, okay, we have to understand. We have to supply here. May you understand that Brahman. May you attain that Brahma Vidya. How? By Shraddha Bhakti Jnana Yogat. We understand through Shraddha Bhakti and Jnana Yoga. Dhyana Yogat. Not Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yogat. Now I want to tell you one thing. In this context, the Acharya Guruhu, Brahmaji, used three words. He presents the direct means of knowledge. See, the attainment of knowledge involves two means. One is Sakshat Karanam, direct means. Another is indirect means. Or you can say Sahakari Karanam, a supportive cause. Direct cause and supportive or secondary cause. Not secondary, supportive. I'll explain here. The two causes for attainment of knowledge. two means for attainment of knowledge. Sahaka, sakshat sadhanam means direct means of the attainment of knowledge. Sahakari sadhanam means here indirect or supportive or contributory means of knowledge. Suppose you have to have a plant. What is the direct means? Seed, is it? You have to sow the seed for the plant to come. But the seed, you have to put the seed, is not enough, isn't it? You have to take care of the water, see how, and then the condition of the soil and the climate. They're all sahakari. They're all supportive or contributory means for the sprouting of the seed, which is growing, which can grow into a big plant. Similarly, if we go to the doctor, especially Ayurvedic doctors, okay, the allopathic doctors don't tell any pathyam. You can eat everything. So Ayurvedic doctors, if you go to, suppose for a given problem, they'll prescribe some medicine, aushadham. This is the medicine you have to take. But when you take this medicine, if this medicine has to be effective, there is a sakshat sadhanam for the roga nivarani, for removal of the disease, this is the direct means, medicine. But they will prescribe written, no coffee. It's called pathyam. Pathyam means certain disciplines strict to be followed for the medicine to be effective. Pathyam, no, don't take coffee. And then don't eat, they say, don't eat tamarind, which is very difficult for us. Don't use tamarind. And don't eat citric. Oh my God, at least lemon, no choice. And avoid tomatoes. And no coffee, which is the first thing we need in the morning. Now all things which you know, and there is like such other things, and then our use few, you use little less chilies. This is certain pathyams we say. Suppose they say all these things. Suppose without following this pathyam, without following this strict discipline, you know, then if you simply take the medicine will not be effective at all. But without the medicine also, the pathyam is meaningless, isn't it? Meaningless. Similarly, here also, we have two sadhanas. Sakshat sadhanam and sahakari sadhanam. So here he mentions both sadhanas first. And what is the sakshat sadhanam? Shraddha bhakti dhyana yogam. May you understand, may you attain the knowledge of the Brahman through Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana Yogam. These three words together constitute one word, Dhyana Yogaha. Dhyana Yogaha. Which means Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana Yogad Avehi means may you attain the knowledge of Brahman, following Jnana Yoga. So what is Jnana Yoga? Which means Jnana Yoga involves three steps. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam together constitute Jnana Yoga. So now you go for tea and come back. I'll explain.